Hello there, good listeners and fans of the Partial Historians. Welcome to yet another thrilling episode. And I am one of your hosts.
And I am the other. Dr. Radford.
I was going to ask you, what's your name?
Who the hell are you?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Dr. Greenfield, as it happens.
Nice to meet you.
You can call me Dr. G.
Okay, cool. So we'll just hit it off and pretend like we're having conversations.
Like we're cool, we're fun. No, I got off to an awkward beginning, didn't I?
That's all right.
It was weird.
It's okay. It's probably because you're thinking about the terror that lies ahead.
It's the horror of what is about to happen to you all and to us.
Yes.
that has me so dismayed and tongue-tied. It is the rule of Domitian.
I believe Tacitus described it as an age so cruel, so hostile to all the virtue. Yeah. Oh, basically a lot of our sources.
Everybody kind of wishes they were dead.
Yeah. And you know what? The chances are you probably will be.
And a lot of them ended up
your wishes
dead.
Will come true. A lot of the sources that we refer to, so Suetonius, Tacitus, Pliny, and what's the other one? Juno, that's right.
Dio.
Yes,
Juvenal.
Yeah.
Juvenal. Yeah.
A lot of people love to hate.
Josephus?
Yeah. Mm. They love to hate in this period.
There is a lot of shared hatred in the upper echelons of society towards Domitian. Yes.
Youngest son of one Vespasian.
Oh, Vespasian.
Yeah. And oddly, given that he's going to be the most unpopular one, I mean, history can be cruel, he rules for the longest out of Vespasian Titus.
So stable, so strong.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, you know, Titus, dead.
I have a fever.
And in spite of my mighty strength, I am rushed off this earth. And so Domitian rules for a good 15 years, which is crazy.
Yeah, and I think this is the first piece of important information that belies the horror and negativity our literary sources provide us with.
I like you, new kid on the block. You can stay.
He's got something.
Yeah.
Authoritarian approach to rule.
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose unlike Titus, people like Suetonius, who like to talk about his youth, it's not quite so sunny from the outset, is it?
Well, it's a bit like that classic thing that seems to happen in families, is that the
black sheep,
the young child, tends to pit themselves as some sort of opposition to the older child. So everything the older child
is good at is
what the younger child rejects outright as being a waste
what?
Of time.
Like speeches, like the military.
Charisma.
Yeah. Good looks.
You could work on
charm,
your people skills.
Whatever.
Or you could sit around and kill flies.
Yeah, exactly. I love that story. I mean, God, you talk about like serial killer in the making. There is this story. I mean, who knows whether it's true or not.
The Romans love this
stuff. That Domitian, when he first comes to power, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's reportedly just likes to spend his mornings sitting around and stabbing flies with a stylus.
Yeah, pulling off their wings.
Yeah, in other words, like a pen. Mm. And making witty retorts when people ask him what he's been up to in the morning. Yeah, I haven't even heard a fly.
Yeah. You can see what's coming, guys.
Yeah.
So thank you, Literary Material, for providing that background.
Yeah, exactly.
That sets up it all really nicely.
Oh, dear.
Let's put it this way. He hasn't been trained quite as thoroughly as Titus, but he has not been completely excluded from the training program.
No, and this is the thing. Even though Domitian is one of those emperors, and I'm using inverted commas, my little bunny finger things.
Your flesh rabbits.
Yeah, that's right, my flesh rabbits. The reason why he's one of those emperors, he's not quite as bad as Caligula and those sorts. You have to
really
admit. Yeah, you have to admit they're not...
Not according to Tacitus.
Whoa, Tacitus. We'll get into Tacitus in a second. But when you're looking at someone like Suetonius, it's not all bad. I mean, there are some good points he's willing to concede
about
Domitian.
I'll indulge you.
Yeah.
Tell me something good about Domitian.
Oh, well, okay, now you're putting me on the spot. But no, when he starts out as emperor, he's supposedly meant to administer justice with something akin to integrity.
Oh, look, yeah. Like many emperors, he starts off quite well.
Yeah.
He does the old no more informers. Not that there'd been any under Titus, because, like, what chance do they have?
Nonetheless, best just to put it out there.
Just putting it out there, not interested. Don't just because I'm new doesn't mean I want your information.
Don't you come knocking on my door.
Doing a bit of the old pardoning of old wrongs and all of that sort of jazz. Yep. All of those things that get everybody on side.
Yeah. And doesn't he also, you know, just to make his family seem that little bit more exalted, doesn't he also get around to some deification?
Oh, yeah, well, this is quite important.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if this is going to make the people love him anymore.
Well, no.
But
he is bias.
in the grand tradition of the history of Roman imperialism up until this point.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen deifications throughout the Julio-Claudian dynasty, but so far...
Not of everyone, though.
Not of everybody. You still have to have done something special.
Yeah.
Not all. The Flavians have yet to go down this path, and it seems that Domitian...
Decides it's time.
Decides
the time
it's
is ripe,
time.
My friends.
And it might
ascend
be partially
the heavens.
Well, it may be partially to do with the fact that he wasn't expecting to come into the role
quite so soon.
Quite as soon slash ever.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. If Titus had lived out a long life and had more children,
like Vespasian. Yeah.
It wouldn't necessarily have ever really fallen to Domitian.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to face it. Vespasian rules for quite a long time, considering he's quite an old guy when he comes to power.
There's a sense in which it's in Domitian's interest to shore up the solidity of the Flavian dynasty in some way.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to go.
Yeah. So here's a gift to you, Dad.
Bing, you're a god. And you know what? Even though we've had our differences, brother, bing, you're a god too.
Yeah. Never really liked you that much. You were always in my way.
But bygones be bygones.
Turns out that you were mighty fine. Godly, even.
Yeah. Because that's just it. I mean, Domitian, so we are told, sort of... you know, spent a lot of Titus' reign apparently plotting against him. Both secretly and openly. I don't really know what that means, but...
I'm guessing the flies come into it.
Yeah. And when Titus is apparently, you know, suffering from that fatal fever, Domitian apparently orders that he be left for dead. But afterwards, when he's safely dead, that's when you can put honours.
I reckon these two are just joking at each other.
Yeah. Jokes.
It's all like with that wink and the sarcasm, but you can't read into the literary material.
Yeah,
at this
exactly.
Point.
It's so hard to determine.
So hard
the tone.
To catch the tone.
Yeah, no, don't treat him. Like, leave him for dead. Wink.
Hilarious. You know what would be good right now?
Oh dear. So yeah, there's this sense, I suppose, coming through from Suetonius that he sometimes is good, sometimes is bad, but he eventually turns wholly bad.
He does, yeah. But not before he does some good stuff. Like, you know, the breads and circuses, that sort of business. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
spends a lot of money on public entertainment.
And see, this is the thing. I mean, we always say this, I know, but it's nonetheless true for Domitian as well. He's really most unpopular with the senatorial class, and we shall explain why. When it comes to, like,
the military are fine with him.
Yeah, because he gives them the pay rise, man.
Gives them the pay rise, but they also seem to respect him.
Yeah. Which is odd.
Yeah. which you might begin to think later on is strange. But they do seem to respect him.
Well, he did try and get some military experience under his old Belteru.
Yeah.
But even though apparently there was a bit of controversy about whether his expedition to Gaul and Germany...
Does that even count?
Yeah, exactly. Well, was it necessary? Was he just trying to equal Titus? Are the sausages just being mean?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you did just go on a military... escapade.
Because I feel like.
Because lols.
Ah, it is a fine day today. Methinks I shall take a trip.
You know, I feel like a competition with my brother.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just don't buy it. I'm like, you've got to, like, mobilise a whole army.
Yeah,
like,
it takes organisation.
Doesn't make sense.
And money, etc.
Yes.
Et
the other thing that the balance of the senatorial literary material provides is this idea that he's a bad fiscal manager.
Yes.
And this is something that increasingly modern scholarship is disagreeing with.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's from things like the fact that he does raise the pay of the soldiers significantly.
Yeah.
You know, quite a hefty little pay.
And I suppose if you don't have the money for that pay rise, that's a bad idea.
It doesn't seem like that crazy that the Treasury couldn't handle it.
The Treasury seems to handle it.
But the thing is, I suppose everyone's like, oh, Vespasian and Titus, so wise. But they were also doing a lot of building. There were all those crises in Titus's reign.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of expenditure going on that they can't avoid.
Yeah, and I think this is what scholars are starting to say. Like, how financial would Domitian have been as a new emperor anyway? Like, was he really just burning through cash? Or had that already been kind of started? Yeah. You know? And Domitian does also...
Titus, I lit the cash fire.
Yeah, exactly. Who started the fire? And it's also the fact that Domitian himself continues this tradition of the buildings, as you say, the bread and circuses.
The Flavian amphitheatre.
Yeah.
Completed.
Exactly.
Mm.
Tick.
Ding.
Yeah.
Do you like the Colosseum? Do you? You have to thank the bad man for that one.
That's right. Don't get too close. So it's this idea that he does undertake all these building improvements, you know, even to existing buildings. And so that takes a bit of money.
Yeah, yeah.
And people got a bit suspicious because it seems that in the latter part of his reign, that the silver coinage is debased, you know, so the content is...
Oh, yeah. But, you know, at least by the Flavian period, they figured out what actually happens when you debase the coinage.
Yeah.
unlike what had happened earlier, where they're like, let's debase the coinage. Yeah. And not understanding inflation.
Yeah, and you have to kind of wonder, is this because our sources are trying to paint him, you know, in the same sort of bad emperor tradition that we've come to know and love by this time? And bad emperors typically are bad with money.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it just seems to be part of his character. Part of the parcel. One might say. Now, this is something that you would like, I have to say.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Domitian, kind of pious, kind of religiously conservative, one might say.
Ooh.
And yes. I'm leading up to saying a word that's going to, I know, is going to get your knickers in a knot.
Mm.
Vesta.
Oh. You've touched me deeply.
I thought I might.
Yeah, so part of this is the religious conservatism of Domitian seems to win him fans amongst the general populace.
Yes.
Along with those
breads and circuses.
Yeah, breads and circuses and, you know, a good traditional upstanding Roman religious man.
Yeah.
So the Vestal Virgins.
Yes.
It's...
You're in a bit of a sticky situation, I have to say.
Literally.
Yeah, exactly.
And they liked it.
I got them into that trouble in the first place, I might say.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
It's described by Suetonius as the desecration of the Vestal Virgins.
Oh,
that's the kind of language that's being used for this incident.
Well, it's quite a few. It's four, isn't it? Four out of the six that end up getting caught up in this.
Yeah, things go downhill really fast.
Yeah.
And it seems...
Like, that's extreme, man.
Yeah, there are a few accusations bandied about... unchastity.
And the thing that intrigues me, and this is where I suppose some people are going towards the re-evaluation road of Domitian, is that apparently the main case against the chief Vestal, Cornelia, it had actually been brought up under previous emperors.
Mm.
And dismissed.
Swept under the table. Who exactly had she been sleeping with, I wonder?
Exactly. The right people, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. So the centerpiece incident is the eventual live burial of the Maxima of the Vestal Virgins, Cornelia.
I know. Indeed.
So even though she had been previously acquitted, these charges are brought back into the court.
Yeah, it's under Vespasian and Titus, who are supposedly the good guys.
Yeah, yeah.
She was acquitted.
To be reassessed.
Yeah.
Subsequently found guilty.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then paraded through the streets to her live burial chamber. Mm. Pliny deals in some detail with how that goes. But she's not the only one who cops flack. There are also a couple of others in the order who are also found guilty.
Mm-mm-mm.
And there seems to be a sense that their crimes are less severe somehow.
Okay.
Although, I mean, we're talking vessels here and once you're no longer
safety
a virgin.
Safety of the city, hello!
Yeah, yeah. Like, once you've done it, like, you've kind of just ruined it.
And, yeah, there's no coming back from that.
Yeah, the punishment is traditionally
death. They
didn't
have re-virginization surgery back in the day.
Goodness knows, that would have helped. But these other two get to choose their own form of death.
Interesting. What do they choose? I don't actually
know. One of them chooses to be hung, I believe.
Ooh, how
if
unusual.
I remember
this
rightly.
Is unusual, isn't it?
Well, it's not the only example.
Hmm.
And the other one we don't know.
Right, okay.
So it's
not just them, obviously, it's also their lovers.
Yep, so the men who are accused, so yes, we do know who they were, or allegedly who they were, although names aren't proffered, really. Yeah. They're gathered up and either roundly humiliated in public by being stoned to death or whatever.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty standard. Or being exiled.
Ah, nice.
Nice, nice.
I believe, actually, that this whole case became so horrific that one senator apparently fainted dead away.
Yeah, yeah.
Bless.
The Senate was traumatized to a certain degree, and I think the city as well. This is the first time in about 70 years.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Vestals in a while.
That Vestals have been targeted in this way.
Yeah.
And that says something for, I would think, the changing relationship of what the Vestals signify under the imperial system as opposed to under the republican system.
How interesting. So you go on.
Well, I could tell you more.
No, please
but
do.
But wait for my book.
Ooh,
okay. I have a theory. Mm. But certainly the last time that we saw this sort of thing, we were on sort of the cusp of moving into the imperial period. And then we don't see any of it until Domitian, which I think is really interesting. Interesting and unusual. And it says something about the level of harking back to the Republic that the Domitian is engaging in right now, because this is not just religious conservatism anymore. This is a deliberate signal of a Republican approach to religion and the sanctity of the religious orders in Rome.
I see. I like where you're heading with this. Nice. And this is somewhat at odds, I suppose, with the sort of scandalous side of Domitian's own life.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I thought you might talk about sex, baby.
Oh, you know me. It's one of my key subjects.
Yeah, exactly. So, I believe that there are rumours of incest.
Oh, yeah, the rumours of incest. Yeah. So, just to preface this, Domitian is married to a woman called Domitia. Mm. They're not related, so don't worry about that.
That's a very nice, cute couple name.
You know, that's cute. Domitia gets into trouble on a number of occasions for sleeping around with other people.
Yeah, and Domitian's not quite so tight with the old regulations when it comes to her, apparently.
It seems that he genuinely loves her because Domitian gets into trouble for sleeping with an actor, Paris. Oh, how passé and cliché.
I know.
It's almost like this has been written by men. And anyway, she gets caught and Paris is sent off and she's sent off. And then eventually, I think, like, there's a small interval of time, probably less than a year.
And then Domitian imagines something like this happening, the people coming to his window go, please bring her back. We love her so. You must forgive her.
You must. Yeah. So he brings her back. And I think that suggests that, well, even if it's not just public pressure, that perhaps there's something more between those two.
I would say so. I mean, seriously, how much do you think the people really care? I mean,
yeah, I would say they probably care very little.
I think Domitian probably cares a lot more.
Yeah.
Paris, it doesn't end up so well. He ends up getting killed.
Yes. Yeah. It's all over.
Well, it was unwise to sleep with the emperor's wife.
It's risky, isn't it?
Yeah.
But on top of that, going in another direction. So that's going on. He's married to Domitia.
Yeah. Scandalous woman.
I quite like her.
Oh, of course.
You get some insinuations from the source material that she's actually quite funny and witty. She's accused of sleeping with Titus when Titus is on his deathbed.
That's right. And so that's supposedly one of the things he might regret.
Yeah, and as speculation about what is this one thing that he regrets that he's not telling anybody.
The intrigue.
And
some rascal.
Somebody facetiously suggests that it's sleeping with Domitia. she comes out and she says, look, it really wasn't. That never happened. And if it did happen, you know I would tell you because I love those sort of things.
Yeah. I just wanted her to say, and he wouldn't regret it. Bam!
She's like, that's the sort of scandal I'd participate in.
Yeah.
It was pretty much her response. And everyone's like, ooh.
Okay, that's just awkward. Move on. Yeah.
So, you know, I like Domitia already. She's a funny woman.
Yeah.
But she's got some competition when it comes to Domitian.
Yes. And oddly, from Titus's camp.
The irony is delicious.
I knew.
Yeah, so Julia Titi, the only offspring that we know of legitimately for Titus, is kind of adopted into the family of Domitian and looked after, and she's living with them in the palace, as you do. And
proximity.
And she is, by all reports, incredibly beautiful. Mm. We have some Flavian sculpture that people tend to identify with her
sure.
on the basis of the description of her not just being beautiful, but amazingly beautiful.
Right.
And you should look those up because...
Yeah. Yeah, because they're not horrifying, yeah.
Because, yeah, she's actually... If those portraits represent her...
She was a babe.
She is a stunner.
Yeah.
And...
So it's only natural that being a bad emperor and living in the same abode as this gorgeous woman that yeah. he would sleep with his own niece.
Yeah, as you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at least he didn't freaking marry her, like well, some. Claudius.
Yeah, yeah. So following the great tradition of or dynastic scandal,
yeah.
why not just engage in some incest with your niece? yeah, so this is a rumour that swirls around and... ultimately comes to nothing.
Yeah.
But what is interesting in terms of the way that the Flavians are representing themselves in this period of time is yes. that Julia Tidy actually assumes a very public persona throughout Domitian's reign, which, for all intents and purposes, is slightly unusual because she's... Yeah. I mean, she's not as in as you... As,
yeah, she's not like his wife.
Yeah, or, yeah, and not his daughter.
No.
She's just
this incestuous
affair. Just the incestuous niece. Yeah. You know. So it's really interesting that she has a high level of prominence, particularly on the coinage.
And do we think that this is, I mean, is this indication that Domitian was, you know, abnormally fond of her? Or is this a new level of prominence because of the imperial family?
Well, or is this sort of like just sort of that traditional empire building that,
yeah,
that the Julia Claudians have set in place? And it's like, well, if you have a dearth of male issue,
yeah,
you're really going to have to work the female.
I'm sorry, because I feel like I have to do this again. It's all about the family.
Because Julia Tidy represents a potentially strong alliance
yeah.
into the Flavian.
Absolutely.
And so choosing the right husband for her becomes super
important.
Well,
and let's face it, I mean, there's no denying that even at the time, you know, it wasn't like Titus's reputation was all made up after the fact. He was popular. So why wouldn't you?
What?
Yeah, exactly. Why wouldn't you associate yourself with her?
What?
Yeah. So it's smart mission. Smart.
Smart, smart. Moving on to the downhill slide.
Ah, yes. And this is the thing. It seems like from what we can tell from Domitian's eventual assassination. That's right, assassination in 96.
Spoiler alert.
Exactly, I know. The people at large and the military are quite upset by his death, like really quite upset. The senators, on the other hand,
what?
They're just laughing because it seems that it's really those last couple of years where things really turn sour. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, look, I'd say that like there's arguably a number of years that you could posit as the turning point
sure.
for Domitian's rule.
Yeah.
I like 87.
Oh.
As
how precise.
Yeah, yeah. I like 87 as the turning point.
Yeah.
The first thing that Domitian has done,
yeah.
which pisses off the senatorial class,
yeah.
is that he holds the consulship every year.
17 times. Manic.
He loves it.
He's out of control.
He has had the most consulships of any emperor so far. He just keeps doing it.
Some of them were before he became emperor.
Yeah, this is true. but nevertheless, he yeah. holds... And he holds the Suffolk consulship, so the one that gives the name to the year.
Yeah.
Holds it every year, pretty much. There's a few scattered years in there where he gets somebody else to do it. But by and large, he co-ops that position for himself,
yeah.
holds it for about 2 weeks, and then fobs it off to somebody else.
Titus and Vespasian at least had the decency to take a breather every now and then.
This is a problem for the Senate because
yeah.
There's a lot of pressure at the top.
Yes.
In terms of getting the consulship.
Yeah.
The consulship's important for career progression.
Yeah.
And the more Domitian holds that first one, the one that gives the name, he holds the most prestigious,
yeah.
thank you, form of the consulship, and thus making it difficult for anybody else to get it. And so they end up on a lower rung career-wise because
yeah.
they're forced into it.
And do you think this is where some of the stuff that Tacitus comes out with? I mean, we don't really have exactly like a history.
I can understand how this would create resentment, but
yeah.
I can't understand. I don't think it's going to be the source of the massive vitriol that we
see. Oh, no. But I mean, do you think this is where, you know, it's partly where people like Tacitus, I mean, you know, admittedly they're writing, I'd say, not histories in this case, more other things, but anyway. The fact that they feel like Domitian has a hatred of virtue that is dangerous to the talented, you know, because...
Well, it's the way that he pursues
yeah.
autocracy.
Yeah.
He makes it very clear that he's not interested in working with the Senate.
Yeah.
It becomes about palace politics.
Yeah, which is always dangerous. And I have to admit, I'm going to have to bring this up. Tiberius. Tiberius has something to do with this.
Tiberius is like the inspiration in a way.
Yeah, and this is the this is part of the problem. Domitian
appears... Are you about to criticise your favourite emperor?
No. I'm criticising the interpretation that Domitian seems to take. Domitian...
This is a fine line.
just follow me. You'll see where I'm heading with this. Domitian has this association with Tiberius in that he really seems to find him quite inspirational, and he obsessively reads, you know, his letters and that sort of thing.
Boring.
Yeah, and so that, this might be partly why people like Tacitus really hate Tiberius so much later on, because they have to deal with Domitian. But Domitian, like Tiberius in his latter years, in Tiberius's latter years, from the beginning, Domitian really seems
he
to,
tries
sort
to
of isolate himself.
Yeah.
He hangs out a lot with just like a select group of people in Alba, not necessarily, you know.
I could stay in the city or
I could not. Yeah. And that's exactly it. It's his idea that he's just consulting this favoured group, not consulting widely as a good emperor would.
Yeah.
And keeping himself at a distance.
Yeah. And this is where this idea that he's autocratic really starts to develop. Because if he's not consulting with the Senate, which is kind of the whole reason why the Senate is there.
Exactly. Why else do they exist?
You can understand why they're going to start to get annoyed.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they still have to meet. What is the point? So I imagine that the meetings quickly degenerate into a Domitian bashing session.
Yeah. Let's talk about him while he's not here.
I hear he's in Alba at the moment. There's no way he's going to turn up at this meeting. Let the games begin.
Exactly.
But this idea that he becomes this sort of...
worth.
Yeah. He starts to go out on a limb and do things which are offensive to the history of Roman imperialism.
Good God.
And so Dio in book 67 gives us a selection of some of the things that he starts to do, which are just sort of, seem to be calculated to cause offense, really.
Right, yeah. Bit like Caligula.
Yeah, so he becomes censor for life. Now, the censorship is traditionally something that you hold for like a 5-year period.
Yeah, and it's also right up there. It's prestigious.
It's massively prestigious. Yeah. It's usually held between two people. It's a shared thing.
Mm.
He's made censor for life. He's the first and only man, whether private citizen or emperor, to be given the honour.
Dubious honour given his age.
But the consequence of this is that he, at any stage, can change the senatorial makeup. He can remove people and add people to the Senate at will. That's effectively part of the role of the censor.
Doesn't exactly make you feel at ease if you're a senator, does it?
Yeah, so way to feel comfortable, guys. So immediately all the Senate is on edge because your position is not secure.
Yeah, exactly.
He starts to use 24 lictors when he appears in public.
It's a little bit more than the norm.
Yeah, so a consul and an emperor would traditionally appear in public with 12 lictors.
Yeah.
24 lictors is a direct reference back to the dictatorships of the Republic. So the dictator...
Again, the Republic.
Yeah. So a dictator, when you have one for that short 6-month period of time, is permitted to have 24 lictors.
Mm. And if you do try and prolong it and make it for life, you might be Julius Caesar.
You might get a little bit of the stabby treatment.
Yeah, exactly.
So 24 lictors, everybody knows what that symbolises.
Yeah.
And you have to think to yourself, well, Domitian knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's trying to tell you.
He does and he doesn't at the same time.
I feel like it's a pretty clear signal that he's trying to let everybody know, I am the absolute ruler here.
Yeah.
You better believe it.
And I suppose with this sort of increasingly hostile relationship between him and the Senate, it's not like he's stupid. He knows what he's, you know, as you say, he's picking up on that.
Yeah.
And he becomes increasingly paranoid.
I'm not surprised.
No, to the point where, you know, he's really, really strict about who can see him. His palace, he uses the kind of materials that are going to reflect what's behind him. Just in case anyone's going, oh my goodness, what are you doing with that knife?
Or this?
I was just decorating the air with it, you know.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, I quite like that story.
Yeah.
And he, one of the other things that he starts to do as well is to wear triumphal garb whenever he enters the Senate House.
Oh dear.
And I think the best visual representation I think that we have of this on film is from the TV series Rome. When we see Julius Caesar going through the triumph. And it's a substantially ornate.
It's showy.
Yeah. Substantially. It's meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a triumph is the best military reward that you can get. I mean, it's very fancy.
And what's he getting it for? That's the other thing, you know.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Pannonia or some rubbish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not. Something not commensurate, really, with what he's done.
Yeah.
But this triumphal garb, whenever he enters the Senate House, it's, I think, again, calculated to offend.
Yeah.
And also to make it particularly clear that he is the absolute monarch here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, this is never going to get anybody on his good side. So it's not surprising, perhaps, that he starts to become paranoid when people don't like him. But he maybe should have thought about that before
nobody
he started.
Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me.
But, you know, maybe he started off with 12 lictors and was like, you know, I'm feeling a bit paranoid. Maybe 24 will help.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, it's a vicious cycle.
Unwise.
It's
unwise.
A vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, things start to really fall apart in 89.
Yeah.
This is where we have the revolt of Saturninus.
Oh, dear.
Mm.
Revolts are never good.
No, always a bad sign. People disagree with your leadership. They're willing to take action.
Yeah, and I think this is one of those other things. It's a real signal to him. Maybe you should be paranoid. People don't like you. People are out to get you.
People are trying to kill you.
Exactly, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, so Lucius Antonius Saturninus, he is a legate in Upper Germany.
Right.
And
Germany.
The rebellion begins on the 1st of January 89.
Nice.
Ah, I know.
Yeah, kick it
start
off.
Start of a new year.
Yeah, fresh start.
Start of
people.
A revolt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good timing because the 1st of January is when the
oath
armies.
Of loyalty.
Yeah, traditionally give their oath of loyalty to the emperor.
I beat you to it.
Yeah, so, you know, they decide to not do that.
Yeah.
How about no?
How about we elect a new emperor? How about that?
Yeah, how about no? What they do instead is they seize the savings of two of the legions in a place called Montunacium.
Nice, nice try.
Yeah, I think I could do better than that, but I shan't attempt it again.
No.
And so these two legions, the 14 Gamenia and the 21st Rapax.
Nice.
refuse to swear the oath and are like, and now we've got all the money. this is interesting because it's only half of the legions under Saturninus' command that actually go through with the revolt initially.
Yeah, so maybe it was like maybe everyone was like, yeah, yeah, let's do it. But then at the time,
you guys take the risk, and if it really works, we'll join you
we'll
later.
We'll totally be behind you. Yeah, we're way behind you.
Yeah. But not only do two of the legions revolt, but it also seems clear that Saturninus is trying to get the Germans on side as well.
Right.
So they're stationed in Upper Germany,
yep.
And they're trying to get the Shatar
tribe.
And
that's always a troublesome area.
It is, yeah. It is. It's frontier lands.
Yeah.
But, you know, clearly the Shatar don't really want to be taken over by the Romans. And he's like, well, I don't want to be taken over by the Romans either, so,
so we've got make a deal.
We've got an enemy in common.
let's be friends.
Yeah, yeah. There's some interesting responses once news of this gets out. Some of the legions in Lower Germany start to revolt as well.
As you do.
So four legions there, the 10 Gamenia, the 22nd Primogenia, the 6th Victrix, and the 1st Minervia. They all get together.
Yeah.
There also seems to be some support from the province of Raetia.
Mm-hmm.
And quickly, there is movement against these positions of revolt.
Right.
One of the key movers against the revolt is Trajan.
A name to note.
Keep that one in mind.
Indeed.
Trajan starts to move against the revolt. Domitian also quickly starts to move against the revolt. So
good.
Moving out from Germany.
Clever,
yeah, yeah. Sets out with the Praetorians.
Nice.
Yeah, I hope he's going to pick up some more troops along the way. but it seems that the revolt actually sort of fizzles out before either Trajan or Domitian get anywhere near it.
Sure.
mostly because the Shaddai don't support it.
Right,
So they don't get together. And everybody else is kind of like, oh, well, maybe, we don't, have the, do maybe yeah. we don't have the numbers. People get cold feet. And they're like, mm.
Maybe we should just rethink before we do anything too serious.
Yeah. And at this time of year, apparently the thawing of the Rhine becomes quite important as well. Because the Shaddai can't cross it quite as easily. And so it's not like they withdraw their support. They're like, guys, the river.
Yeah.
The river. We can't help you out here. No. So you can see them almost like...
The 1st of January might have seen a good idea to you.
Yeah, but. I'm just having these moments of like, you know, this Indian summer moment happens in sort of like mid-January. And from across the river, the Shaddai are like, guys, you're just going to have to go without us.
But we don't want to.
And they're like, but we can't do it without
you. You're so fierce in German.
So, I mean, Domitian kind of gets lucky there, I think.
Yeah, nice. He's lucky.
That would have just happened.
Cut his reign short by 7 years.
I would have thought so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, as a consequence of the revolt of Saturninus, Domitian moves into his ultimate paranoid phase.
Initializing phase 3.
Yeah. Ultimate paranoia. Things don't go well.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads us, I don't know, I mean, there's certainly a lot of things that we could mention, between...
Well, I mean, there's the trials that start to happen.
The philosophical opposition.
Yeah, exactly, where these, you know, basically it seems as though he's particularly come into conflict, or at least he's deliberately targeting, this particular group that are sort of associated with... You know, the philosophical circles, literary crimes, you might say.
Yeah, these are guys who were sort of like pro-Republican spirit.
Yeah, and they're not necessarily coming straight out and saying, you're Domitian, you suck. But they're praising...
They're sort of speaking against tyranny.
Yeah, praising people who had opposed people like Nero.
Yes.
You know, just things that a paranoid emperor might take amiss.
Yes, and up until now they've gotten away with it, but 93 is a turning point in terms of the philosophical opposition and how Domitian deals with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you have. I suppose this is where the Senate really, really take offence, I suppose you might say, with prominent people. I mean, yeah, we're not just talking about nobodies. We're talking about, you know, ex-consuls. You know, we're talking about people who have some status, and even people who are part of his own family.
Sorry?
Well,
what?
Not necessarily.
Pause.
Yeah.
Dramatic pause.
Yeah, sorry, not at this point in time, but there have been people who are relatives removed, you know, prior to this time as well. So it seems...
Just drawing attention to the crisis that's unfolding, dear listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you even have people, I mean, of course you have our sources recording deaths that are apparently for trivial reasons. So someone, for example, celebrating the birthday of Otho. You know, prior
How
emperor.
Dare you?
Exactly. Wrong.
Way to get yourself killed.
Yeah, exactly. But again, you have to question, is this really the reason?
Well, then there's a story about the guy, Celestius Lucullus, who's killed for naming a type of lance after himself.
Yeah.
How offensive.
I know. You like lances? I have a lance. I'm going to put you all over it. Yeah, so it seems like there are these sort of ridiculous reasons. You have to wonder, you know, what are the sources of
that? Yeah. Aulus Lama is killed for making a joke at Domitian's expense.
Well.
Heaven forfend.
That's at least aimed at Domitian.
I guess it depends on what the joke was.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. If it was, hey, Domitian, how's that revolt working out for you?
Metius Pompusianus, he is killed after a prediction... Probably not his, I would say. And he would become emperor.
Ooh,
and,
that's not
ooh.
Good.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But these seem to be part of...
As well as the people who were, you know, plotting revolution, well, like Acilius Glabrio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Glabrio is an interesting case because he's actually one of the really few rare examples of men under Domitian who gets to hold the real consulship.
Yeah, true. Yeah, exactly. He's next
before
consul.
Before he dies.
So it's all very unhappy and dark in this last period of Domitian's reign.
It is, and I think the philosophical opposition is by far the worst example. And these other senatorial figures that are dying, we can't verify whether the reasons they're being killed, silly though they seem, are real or a manifestation of the sort of the negative literary tradition
absolutely.
Against Domitian.
Because you have, of course, like people like Tacitus, who although he's all anti-Domitian and whatnot. he still has this vested interest, I suppose, in justifying his own survival.
Mm.
Because, of course, Tacitus served under Domitian.
Yeah.
And how? And so he has to somehow sort of explain himself, I suppose.
I feel like there's a lot of survivor guilt which comes through in the narrative.
Exactly. And so when he's talking about his father-in-law, who also was under Domitian...
He and did quite well.
Yeah, exactly. He has this sentence, which I love. There may be great men, even under bad emperors, and that obedience and submission, when joined to activity and vigour, may attain a glory which most men reach only by a perilous career, utterly useless to the state, and closed by an ostentatious death.
Yeah. No,
Do you think he's talking about himself, not just his father-in-law?
I love that passage, because it's like that... That really verbose justification.
Yeah. Of why I'm still here, guys.
I was a coward, but that was better than speaking out.
Yeah.
You know, is essentially the argument he's putting forward here. And this is a reference really to this philosophical opposition. The three most prominent members of that opposition are a guy called Helvidius Priscus.
Now, that's a name we've heard before.
You may have heard of him before. He's the son of the previous.
And he didn't end up well either. Priscus. Yeah,
They're a philosophical family.
Yeah, and it always gets him into trouble.
So Helvidius Priscus the elder, he gets done under Nero.
Yeah,
yeah. Helvidius Priscus the younger gets done under Domitian.
Mm.
There's also Aurelian. Let me start again.
Spit it out.
Aurelius. Rusticus.
Bravo.
Thank you. And he publishes a work on Thrasius Paetus.
And he's one of these guys who he was a Stoic under Nero and took a rather strong stance.
Yeah,
out there deliberately antagonizing Nero, but kind of just sticking to his principles in a very annoyingly ostentatious way.
Yeah, yeah.
In a way that Nero really didn't like in the end.
Whereas Helvidius Priscus the younger, the charge against him seems to be far less substantial. He publishes a farce. So it's a comedy.
You jest.
I'm trying to jest with a serious allegorical message. It seems to be an attack on Domitian and his wife, or at least it's interpreted as being such.
Risky.
Risky business. Yeah. And our final figure is Herennius Seneca. And he's clearly deep in the philosophical territory because he writes a biography of Helvidius Priscus the Elder.
Oh, God. This is all interconnected, really.
Like they're some sort of family.
I know.
Philosophically. And so all of these guys are dead by the end of 93.
Yeah, absolutely.
At this point, the Senate has also entered its final phase of incredibly paranoid.
Yeah, and so that's when you start to get, I suppose, a bit of the eld informers creeping out, you know. People... And Domitian's not stopping it. Again, probably.
And look, and things get even worse... wait for it.
Yeah.
Get even more. In 95,
yeah.
We have the story of Flavius Clemens.
Yes, this is the guy I was talking about.
So he's a cousin of Domitian.
Yeah.
And he's also the colleague in the consulship in 95 with Domitian.
Uh-oh.
And not only that, Flavius Clemens is so in with the family that his sons have been formally adopted by Domitian. They're the male heirs currently for the Flavian dynasty.
So he'd want to watch because
Domitian's
his
own children haven't survived, by the way.
Mm.
And then, for some reason, he's executed.
Good God.
God. The official reason is that he was charged with atheism.
How interesting.
It seems really unlikely.
Yeah.
being that in with the imperial family that you would be a closet atheist.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And that Domitian would go so far as to adopt your sons execute you on such a charge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly more likely is that it's the lesser sort of crime of having Jewish and Christian sympathies.
Yep, yep.
Rather than being atheist himself.
Gotcha.
In any case, things obviously take a really rapid turn because at the start of the year he's in
and by the end he's out
he's dead. And Clemens's wife she's exiled to the traditional exile for ladies, Pandateria. Yay. If you ever get the chance to visit the island, please do. It's great for women.
Stay a while.
Yeah. And so things are getting really sort of
out of hand.
Yeah, I'm like, now the family is
now the family's involved. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So as you can imagine, 96 is the last year of Domitian's rule.
Yeah, and interestingly, and I suppose you kind of would expect this perhaps, because we talked about his isolation before.
Mm.
The assassin comes from within his own household.
I was going to say from within himself.
Well, kind of does in a sense. You know, but it's his freedmen.
Yeah.
That seem to have struck the fatal blow. Interestingly, though, afterwards, Nerva seems to be keen to jump on that bad wagon and say, no. Oh, yeah, I was totally in on that plot, guys. But that might have just been convenience.
Not really clear.
Exactly, because Nerva's the guy that's going to succeed Domitian, BTW.
What seems clear is that nobody's really planned what will happen after he dies.
No. And, I mean, I've heard it said that, you know, why on earth would freedmen strike out against Domitian? Because they have nothing to gain, really, because
gotten a better offer from somebody else.
Exactly. And some have suggested that it might be because Domitian had actually started to strike out at his own freedmen, in that he had executed someone who had served way back in the time of Nero.
Yeah, yeah.
And someone who had been serving him, obviously, for a long time. And so it was kind of a bit of a shock, I suppose, that he was executed.
Yeah, so,
and the freedmen started to feel perhaps a little uncertain of their position and thought, maybe we should look around for other offers.
Yeah, so by the end of 95, Domitian had begun targeting the freedmen as well.
Yeah.
So obviously this becomes a little bit about self-preservation.
Yeah.
There is also speculation that Domitia is involved.
Yeah. And again, is she just jumping on that bandwagon? I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
The Praetorian Prefect?
Expected, yeah.
Certainly Domitian's done less to cultivate their loyalty than, say, Titus.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so you're left with, unfortunately, Domitian assassinated. Sad face.
Well,
not really.
Everybody's kind of excited, I think.
Well, everyone in the Senate, though.
Yeah.
And the Senate actually seem to dislike him so much that they take that step, Dr. G. You know the step I'm talking about.
Oh, damnatio memoria.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's next level cutting people out. This is where you go around and hack the faces off the statues. This is where you go and chisel their names out of all of the inscriptions.
Ultimate burn.
You no longer exist.
Yeah, it's a special treatment reserved for people like Nero.
Yeah, Domitian's done a fine job of getting himself into a similar position.
And this does make the historical record obviously a little bit tricky later on because, you know, his name's missing and stuff.
Well, yeah but you can usually guess.
You can get it. Anyways, that's really where Domitian ends up, being damned for all eternity. And there's no... Who's going to succeed? Where are we heading next?
Well, I think next we'll be looking at the reign of the elderly, the frail, the Nerva.
Such an apt name. So yeah, that brings us to the end of the Flavian fun, I'm afraid. It started off so well as a dynasty and ended so badly.
It was a roller coaster ride.
It was. We hope you enjoyed it with us. Come and join us for the tottering steps of Nerva next time.